Welcome back to Frenemies. Today, I'm joined by Davis to talk all about paid media strategy, the part that nobody can live without in this day and time. Hi, Davis.
Hey, everyone. And thanks for having me here today.
Very glad to have you on. So a bit about you, Davis. You have your own agency, Darrow Digital, where you help lots of B2B and B2C clients on their paid media needs. So, of course, lots of demand capture going on, but also demand creation, demand generation, which we're going to dive a bit into. So, yeah, let's get straight into it. You get a new client and you have to create a paid media strategy for them. Yeah, where do you start? What do you look at?
Yeah, well, first of all, I probably start with a lot of questions. I ask a bunch of questions to clients about like what's their budget, what do they currently run, what is the performance, and then a bit more about like the average deal sizes, the sales cycles. So I need to have the full picture before I can suggest anything. Then ideally, they would also give me some sort of demo tour so I can understand the process of how people get onboarded or sign up for demo. Because then I also already start to think about, okay, what do I want to track? But usually in the sense of actual paid media, I usually will try to start with demand capture. I think everybody would do that. Mainly that's going to be Google search. And I would start with most likely high intent keywords. And that will give me an idea of, well, first of all, how expensive the industry is. Of course, I'm going to get some knowledge beforehand when they tell me what's their average deal size and sales cycle, because the more expensive the deal is, the more expensive the industry is. But yeah, that's going to give me a general understanding of how expensive it is to pay for the click, how expensive it is to get the lead, how often can I get the lead, how much traffic there is. And that's one of the most important things, right? I want to see if there's enough traffic, because if I'm given a budget, let's say €5,000, but I cannot even really spend it on Google because people are just not searching for it, then I immediately start thinking about demand generation. But usually starting with Google search, seeing how much demand we can capture, adding some retargeting probably on paid social, where mainly I would start retargeting website visitors, and then we'll see how that goes before we extend, basically. And it's also really budget dependent. The bigger the budget, the more room you have to play and test. So
yes, that's how it is with paid media managers. Having managed some of them, it's normally you keep them happy by giving them a big budget to play with.
I mean the more budget you have, it's you don't even have to just play in your usual LinkedIn and Google and Facebook. You can start the exploring Reddit, Twitter.
But as you just mentioned, Google Ads and the demand capture part. Two questions or two thoughts I have related to that. The first, as you said, of course, that is very dependent on, you know, there is actually demand to capture. So do you base this on the brand keywords or product keywords? Is this like kind of how you build your baseline to see what are the general numbers of how expensive a click is and how where conversion rates are at and all of these important numbers to then scale it up from there?
I base it on generic. So okay. Brand, for me, for brand, I don't know, like it's going to be usually super cheap. So I'm not going to base it on how expensive the industry is based on brand terms, basically. But brand terms give you an indication how many people already know you and are searching for you. So that's a good one. But
My second question is, of course, you know, as you said, you kind of take stock of what does it look like, the process to sign up for a demo. And of course, there's a lot of things connected to it. As for example, what does the landing page look like or the pages you want to send traffic to? So there's already a lot of like thoughts you need to have on that as well, right? To even assure that there is a proper conversion from the ad to the goal you want to achieve, right?
Exactly. I can give you an example. I had a call with a potential client. So they asked for help. They want to run ads without having a proper website in place. So they did have a website, but when I looked at it, for them to sign up, to become a client or a customer, you would click on a sign up button. Then there is a form that you download, a PDF form. You need to fill it out. You need to send it back to some email, and then they review it, and then you can start all of it. I suggested to them, as a bare minimum, add some form to fill out. Then you create some email automation, send out that form, whatever they need to fill out. Then do that. At least capture them, because then you send them the email. If they don't respond, you can still reach them again with a follow-up and whatnot.
Yeah, not even just kind of the process to the sign up, which obviously is really important, especially for you, because this is of course also where you get the ROI and you can see where to spend next. But also just talking about the next step in the process, I have run this test several times of how the conversion rate is from lead, like high intent lead, like demo request
Yes.
to a booked meeting and further through the pipeline, based on how fast the sales team reacts. And even though, like, and I did this test, like, split out by channels where the traffic came from, but also then just looking at organic. So people that clearly came to your website with the goal, okay, I know them, I have researched them, I want to get a demo. Even there, you can see dramatic differences in how many of those convert into a meeting. These things are so important, and I think a lot of companies forget of how many
Definitely.
factors actually go into it, even though people are ready to buy. But they still have other priorities. They still have a lot on their table, and they're not going to wait and sit around for a company to, yeah, as you say, download a form and send an email and do this. No, we all want it super easy and fast, right? We all are under pressure.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now it has to be so easy and seamless. I mean, we are living now in a time where our attention spans are like 3 seconds, and like a slow website is not gonna cut it. Everything needs to be fast and seamless.
So you already mentioned how you look at demand capture and then demand creation. So demand capture is mainly Google Ads. And then for the demand creation part, what are the platforms you're looking at, and how are you building the demand creation ads app, and with what goals?
So mainly that would be LinkedIn's platform. But basically it would start out with cold layer, meaning you go for awareness. So the goal there would be to look at the frequency, how often the ads are shown to the audience, how big the audience is, your reach, CPCs, basically everything related to engagement and video views for that matter. Because then you start to understand what resonates, which ads resonates. You can start adjusting the messaging, adjusting the banners creative part, and also start excluding some job titles perhaps, or some industries. You can see in the demographics that some of them are not engaging, but you just spend money on them. Also, you would look here how quick and how expensive it is to build that first retargeting layer. Let's say you have white papers, you have testimonials, case studies, basically social proof and thought leadership. So you look also there, you look at engagement rates basically. And then the third layer, the final one, that's where you can start thinking about cost per lead, conversion rates. So for the whole funnel, the goal would be, of course, getting revenue, but the KPIs at different stages are slightly different. And then I would look at also when I'm looking at leads, right, at the last stage, I wouldn't just look at the last stage cost per lead. I would use the whole funnel's cost when I calculate cost per lead or cost per opportunity, MQL, whatever those next stages are.
Yeah, so as you just said, of course, the demand creation process consists of several layers of campaigns with different goals, different assets. And of course, especially in 2023, the problem is that actually, generating those leads that your clients can work with takes a long time. And sales cycles are even longer. So how do you align with your clients and set the expectations there? Because of course you must give them some sort of expectation of when can they actually receive the first leads. And what do you base that information on?
The longer it takes to populate at least that first retargeting layer, the longer it's going to take you to see the results. So sometimes I don't even suggest demand generation. I mention it, but I talk a lot about let's run. I mean, I don't like it a lot, but I would start running lead gen straight away, just lead LinkedIn forms, so they start capturing some leads, so there is a little bit of trust that or something tangible for them. The next, I would say, if you want to have better conversion rates, let's go with the demand generation. It's going to take us a little bit longer, but eventually it's going to be cheaper to close the deals than what we're doing right now.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that's not only for the paid media area, but I mean, I experienced the same as a marketing leader, right? In all of my last companies, it was always a process to get to demand generation and get away from the lead generation part, because of course it's difficult for leadership to trust in it if you haven't seen the results. So also at my current company, when I started, I had to do the lead gen part to get to the demand gen part, because of course you need to, like, you know, live up to expectations and deliver, but also then, you know, for me it's a good trade-off to do this kind of 50-50 and then scale the lead gen part down, because you can prove more and more why demand gen is the way forward and why you need to focus on actually creating the demand. But you know, it takes time to build this up, and a lot of times the idea of waiting 3-4 months is really, really scary, because of course you need a consistent flow. But you're of course also building the future. You're building the future demand. You're building what's coming in. Well, I mean, now we're already looking at Q1, kind of, right, for anything that starts now. What are your paid media tips that more people should know?
One is super huge: is that please try to use offline conversions, especially if you run Google. And by offline conversions, I mean what you send back information, what happens beyond just a lead. Your MQL stage, your SQL stage, your opportunity stage. Please send it all back to Google so you can optimize better the campaign. So Google takes that information into account as well. Based on that, also track as much as you can. You can eliminate the conversion points later on if you think they're not relevant, but it's better to over-track than not tracking at all. I have kind of a hierarchy of importance on different channels. So for example, on Google, the first most important thing is data. So that comes back to all the conversion points that you need to track. Then it's the keyword/campaign structure that you need to keep in mind. Then it's the bid strategy, and only then it's landing page, and then the ad copy. Like for Google, ad copy is kind of like, it has to be relevant to the keyword and people are gonna click. For, let's say, for LinkedIn, the main thing is targeting. So targeting the right people, and then messaging and creative, because that needs to match obviously your target. And then for Facebook, the most important thing is the creative, because apparently Facebook's algorithm is not smart enough to figure out who to show your ad based on what you're putting in the creative. So people use just broad audiences in the targeting, and it works.
I think this is already really interesting, because at least in my experience, everybody can see the ads and everybody has an opinion, right? Doesn't mean that it's always qualified or strategically founded opinions, but everybody has one. And I see it exactly the same way as you. A lot of times the messaging is actually a lower priority, because obviously the messaging should be relevant, but I haven't seen many cases in which the messaging wasn't relevant at all. But a lot of times it is an area that a lot of other people focus on. So they see an ad and, you know, they give feedback on like the messaging or the visual. But the other parts are so much more important for what actually comes out at the end of the day than the actual messaging. Also, because as we said already before, the attention span is so low by now. Like, you know, people don't sit around and remember a message from an ad they saw for 3 weeks. I mean, we all would wish that was the case, but it's not.
Not at all.
So what is your personal standpoint on competitor ads? Do you run them for clients?
Yes.
Or when is the point where you advise competitor ads?
Always. I mean, why not?
Okay, I've just never seen the return on competitor ads. I've never seen them paying off.
I mean, if it's not performing, you can scale it down. But if it does perform, it's great.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, some of those competitors have done the heavy lifting of demand generation. They're looking for them, but then they might click on you and maybe they convert. So why not?
Yeah, and I think especially for competitor ads, it's even more important that, you know, exactly the layers you explained or the criteria on how to optimize Google ads. I think that's even more so the case. So you want to make sure your landing page is performing and is very easy to consume, read, and sign up. Because you don't want to waste people's time that were looking for a specific company on something that isn't relevant to them. So I think the relevancy needs to be even higher. to get enough out of it.
In an ideal scenario, you would have some sort of a competitor-specific landing page where you compare yourself to the competitors. And don't just create a table yourself, but use something like G2 or Southern review sites where it's proven that you are better than your competitor.
Okay, any other paid media tips you have for us?
When you're trying to advertise something, when you just start to think, would I click on it? Would I convert? Would I buy this? And if you go into the more complex scenario with retargeting layers, you could still apply the same thought process. Would I eventually become a customer? If the answer is no, then you need to change something. So think more from your own perspective.
I think those are great tips, but I would actually say a lot of times people should think less of their perspective. And what I mean is a lot of times, and it of course depends on your target audience. If you yourself are a marketer and you're targeting marketers, sure, think of your own perspective. But I feel like too many people that work in marketing think of how they look at ads and think that the audience looks at the ads in the same way. And it's not about you. It's not about, you know, if you like something or dislike something. It is a lot of times is something simple enough. Can everybody understand this? Again, our attention span is really limited. So you don't want to have 5,000 very specific industry keywords in there, because even industry people don't want to read them.
Oh, no, definitely.
But I have one more question for you. And that is, of course, how do you collaborate with sales? So both when you worked in-house, but also now like with your client's sales department, like how do you make sure that is aligned and you know, they have a proper lead handover and they know what kind of leads they're receiving?
I would say I have three kind of examples. So one was I had a weekly catch-up with a client and their sales team. So we were basically running the Google Ads and we're getting signups, but we on a weekly basis discussed the quality of them. So how many were good, how many were maybe fake, because then I would know what to scale down, which ad groups, which campaigns are not performing. As an example, I tried out Performance Max. I was getting a lot of leads. I was like, nice, cost per lead is down, everything is awesome. But at the same time, I was cautious. I was like, that seems too good to be real. So I urged the sales team to even send me notes on almost like a daily basis to tell me, okay, I've got like 30 leads. Are any of them good? And then, of course, in a month, we basically stopped Performance Max campaign because 98% of them were not good. And we started to spend a lot of money on it. So that interaction, that conversation with them helps a lot to nail down on what is performing and what's not performing. If I would be just someone who is running ads for them and just optimizing for conversions, that would be so much waste. So much waste. And the results then were that when I worked with them for a couple months, we got down the cost per SQL dramatically by like 35 or 40%. So optimizing for the right thing, right? But when you work with like, let's say you're like 500 or 1,000 employees, it's a bit hard, but at that alignment is so crucial. It's insane. I had a case where country managers created their account-based marketing list, and then sales had a different one and there was miscommunication. So I, of course, advertised for that list. Nobody followed up with them like they were supposed to be followed up on. I didn't know that, of course, but yeah, it can be a mess.
Yeah. But I also think, you know, from my experience, specifically for paid media, working together with sales, educating helps as well. Because, of course, sellers don't know how the different platforms work, what targeting you can actually like even set up. And not that they need to know the details, but I found that it was really great to actually say, listen, this is actually the targeting that I can set, so I can only do that much. And that really helped the way forward for them to also understand, okay, why are leads not always exactly how we want them to be?
Yeah, we just want our ICP, we want directors, we want them to request the demo, we want them to sign up themselves, and I just need to send them a contract. Like, of course, everybody wants that.
Thanks so much for sharing all of your insights, Davis.
Thanks a lot for having me.